In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Japanese artist Sada Watanabe captures the scene from earlier in Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 8, where we hear, "Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping." You see him with his diadem. The disciples went and they woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Fear returns as the undertow in this morning's gospel reading, six chapters later. Fear threatens to swallow up Peter and the disciples and their little boat. Fear paralyzes, wears us down, erodes our faith, generates doubt. To the disciples' fear and to ours, Jesus speaks his word. "Take heart, it is I, do not fear." If you take a glance at the Greek text, as many of you are able to now, you will see that the phrase, "it is I," is actually ego eimi. I am the sacred name of Yahweh. This is no ordinary guy out for a walk on the waves. He's Yahweh in the flesh, the creative word through whom all things were made, dancing on the deep as though he owns it, because he does. To appreciate fully this miracle, you need to know a bit about the deep. In Genesis chapter 1, when the earth was in its embryonic stage, darkness covered the deep. Chaotic, swirling waters. And then the spirit wind of God blew over the face of the deep. Now, fast forward to Jesus walking on the surface of the water. The deep, in the darkness, at 3 o'clock in the morning. The wind was blowing over the waters. Genesis chapter 1, all over again. The Word, the water, the Spirit, a new creation with Jesus. The deep also came to us to represent death and the grave, Sheol, the dark, nebulous underworld that swallowed you up like Jonah and never gave you back again. Sailors and fishermen feared the deep as they feared death itself. The deep was filled with fearsome monsters, sea monsters, and scripture even names some of them, Leviathan, Behemoth, Rahab, monsters who would swallow you up and never spit you out again. And here is Jesus, walking on the back of this chaotic trinity, Leviathan, Behemoth, and Rahab. They've met their maker and their match. They can harm us none. The deed is done. One little word can fail even them. The disciples were afraid, as we all are when our safety is threatened, when the grave opens its gaping jaws and the darkness rears its ugly head and the old fears rise up. Oh, we may not be as superstitious as those disciples, but the fears are just as real when we wait for the medical test to come back or we have that close rush with death. And I hope it's not a fear that you have going into tomorrow's final and Thursday's outcome. And at the sight of Jesus walking on the water, that doesn't even bring much comfort. The disciples thought they were seeing ghosts. Visions rarely bring comfort, only more fear. What calms the disciples' fear and our own is Jesus' word. "Take heart, do not fear, I am." Jesus speaks calm to their fear, just as his words and the sight of his wounds on Easter evening calmed their fears in the upper room. This was no ghost, no phantom in the night. It was the Lord, flesh and blood, Jesus, walking on the water, coming to save them. Now, of course, Peter wasn't so sure. Good old Peter. I'm always glad to have Peter around. He usually says what everyone else is thinking but is afraid to say. He'd seen the miracles, lepers cleansed, demons cast out, even his own mother-in-law healed by Jesus. But walking on water, really? This defied common sense, not to mention Archimedes' principle of buoyancy. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter wants proof, don't we all? It's hardly the way of faith, but ever patient, ever teaching, Jesus obliges. Come, he says to Peter, and Peter climbs out of the boat and walks on the water to Jesus. Now, how can Peter do such great things? You already know the catechism answer. It isn't Peter who does them, but the word spoken across the water from Jesus to Peter, and faith that clings to that word spoken across the water. Come. The Lord speaks the word, and it is so. By the word of Jesus, Peter shares in the miracle and dances on the deep, stepping all over those sea monsters, Behemoth and Leviathan and Rahab. Now, don't any of you try this on the chapel lake below us. Jesus is not talking to any of you here. He was not talking to the 11. He was talking only to Peter. The others stayed high and dry in the boat. Jesus, for you, has a greater word. By the word of Jesus, connected with the water in a font not dissimilar to the one in front of us, you have shared in Jesus' greater miracle, his death, his resurrection, his forgiveness, life, and salvation. How can water do such great things? How can something so simple and humble bring life and salvation? We're apt to dismiss these things as something nothing more than religious rituals. Symbols, not the real stuff. Even many of our fellow Christians think in these ways, in spite of all the biblical evidence. But if Peter could walk on the water by the word of Jesus, just think of what Jesus' word can do. Forgive sins, raise the dead, create faith, and make a washing of recreation and regeneration and renewing. After all, he made everything with his word. Is there anything his word cannot do? If you ever catch yourself beginning a sentence with the phrase, God can't or Jesus couldn't, immediately put your finger to your lips and let your mortal flesh keep silence. Don't dare finish that sentence. That's unbelief talking. With God, nothing is impossible. A virgin conceives, a man walks on water, Jesus dies and rises, forgives your sin, baptizes you, gives you his body to eat, his blood to drink, promises to raise you from the depths of your grave, all by the word of his mouth. Peter does fine as long as he fixes his eyes on Jesus and keeps his word stuck in his ear. But you know how it goes. We have this little attention problem, spiritual ADD, if you will. You start looking around, checking things out, seeing how your walk with the Lord on the waves is going. You begin to notice the wind and the white caps, not to mention your sin, and all the ways you mess things up, even when you don't intend to. And then it isn't Jesus at the center anymore, but you, which is just what the devil of the world and your sinful flesh, self-centered self, wants. You in the middle, and then doubt starts creeping in, and fear. And in a flash, you say to yourself, hey, wait a minute, man can't walk on water, and you start to drop into the deep like a rock. Freeze frame that scene in your mind, dropping into the deep like a rock. Peter's about to go under, his eyes wide as saucers. He catches one more breath before the waves swallow him. He cries out, Lord, save me. Got that picture of sinking Peter in your mind? You know what that is? That's you in your death. That's you being pulled under by the riptide of sin and the law. That's you without Christ, without his word, without his body and blood, without his baptism. All on your own. nothing but the deep blue sea and its chaotic monsters. But then a firm hand reaches out and catches you and grabs onto you so tightly it almost hurts. But you know he won't let you go. Ever. It's a familiar hand. A hand that reached out and caught the whole world on a cross in the darkness of one Good Friday afternoon. That same hand that plucked Peter from the deep will pull you from the grave when he comes as a thief in the night. You of little faith, Jesus says. Peter so bold, so frightened. Little faith one. Why did you doubt? Why do we doubt? Do you think Jesus will fail you in your hour of need? Do you think that he who died for you, who went down to the depths to save you, will abandon you? Do you think he will turn a deaf ear to your cry for mercy? Never. You are baptized. You have his sign, his seal, his mark, his personal testimonial that you belong to him. You have his body and his blood, sign and seal of your salvation. You have his word, the word that causes men to walk on water, that makes all things, including you, new, that raises the dead. Take heart. Do not fear. Jesus is with you all the days until your end of days. The hand that snatches you from the jaws of death will not let you go, ever. Do not fear anything in this world, where nothing can break his hold on you. Not the cancers, not the bullets, not the bullies, not the terrorists, not the bad governments, not the devils, not the demons, not the darkness of your very soul, not even your sin. And when doubt overtakes you, and sin overwhelms you, and waves of guilt and shame wash over you and threaten to drown you, say with Peter, Lord, save me. And Jesus will. He always will. Jesus and Peter climbed into the boat to join the others. The wind had died down. There was peace in that little boat. Peter didn't admire his hand and say, Lord, I sure had a good grip on you, didn't I? And he didn't boast about his little walk on the water. He and the rest of the disciples did the only thing that's left to do when Jesus has done it all. They worshiped and confessed him, truly you are the Son of God. That's a picture of you and me this morning. Yanked from the deep by the strong hand of Jesus, made new by water and the Spirit, washed with water and the Word, huddled together in this little congregation, adrift on the high stormy seas of a shifting culture. We couldn't be safer. Jesus is with us. Welcome aboard. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.